You're listening to Perspective on WFHR 1320 AM 97.5 FM. I'm Melissa Kay, bringing you news in our community. During this interview, I'm talking with Wood County Board Chair Lance Plimmel on December 30th, 2025. Thank you for joining me, Lance, to bring the community an update from the Wood County Board of Supervisors.
Good morning, Melissa. Always great to be here.
So I would like to first dig into a couple of the resolutions that were approved on the December 16th Wood County Board of Supervisors meeting. The first is a resolution introduced by the Public Safety Committee to increase the cremation fee and death certificate signature fee in the coroner's office. This will yield approximately $3,700 per year increase in revenue. Can you explain the reason behind this increase?
Yes, the short and simple answer is to cover cost. The coroner's office is not someplace that is, you know, profit-driven or profit-motivated. It is somewhere where we need to break even for those services. And as those costs have increased from all the providers, we have to cover those costs. So we try to take a projection of what we're going to have next year in service rendered, divide that by the costs of running the office, and then those fees have to increase to meet those needs.
Okay, so it's short budget shortfalls?
It would be a budget shortfall going forward. I mean, we were fine this past year going in, but as we see increased costs on cremation and all those other services, we have to adjust our costs to be able to cover that.
Okay. Now let's talk about the opioid settlement funds. So the board approved a resolution introduced from the Operations Committee to disperse unspent opioid settlement funds. Can you tell us how these funds are going to be used and talk about the application process?
Sure. Well, the opioid settlement came about a few years ago, and we have received different tranches of money over time, and then we have to spend that specifically within guidelines on opioid abatement or prevention. And that's a pretty narrow area in some cases. And as that money rolls in, and most of it was front-loaded, it will come in on the back end. We have to constantly look at how we're going to spend that, where we're going to spend that to have the most bang for the buck within our community. And that is often, handled by our health department as they roll this out, obviously with law enforcement. I mean, some of the immediate needs you think about, like, doesn't hurt to have Narcan in every squad car, an ambulance, some of the simple ones. How do you do education? How do you do treatment? How do we handle those with addiction? And so as that money comes in, and it's been large amounts of money, I mean, we've had tranches of that have exceeded $500,000 over time. But we have to, decide where that's going to be best used. And what was interesting in Wisconsin is our settlement to the state on that opioid settlement, 70% of the dollars went directly to the counties, 30% went to the state. Every other state in the union, that money went directly to the state. So those of you who remember back to the tobacco settlement, where all that money went to the state and they decided who got it and how it was going to be spent. This is a little bit different way to do it, and I think a lot more effective way. You kind of eliminate that whole middleman where a lot of that dollar gets used up. So, this is a constant thing you're going to see as we go forward. We're going to have resolutions come forward as to how we allocate these dollars in the future. Some of these companies, like I said, most of it came up front. Some of them have actually declared bankruptcy in the process. We're going through the courts on those settlements. But probably for the next at least 10 years, we're going to see some money come in.
Hmm. And some of that money was used for things like the public vending machines that have Narcan and other supplies in it. Is that accurate?
I don't know specifically if it was used for the machines or if it was used for the product within the machines. But yeah, one of the things we've realized that, nobody's pro-drug addiction, obviously. But I think one of the saddest things we see in our communities is when you have a young person, especially a young person, who ends up, involved in drugs and doesn't assume what they're consuming is going to contain, an opioid or the level of opioid. Fentanyl would be a great example. And all of a sudden they're in a life and death situation. And I'm kind of a firm believer of, everybody gets a second chance. And if we have the ability to treat, revive, and help those people, and we have that, and we have Narcan available in all of our squad cars, ambulances, fire trucks, it certainly helps. So we'll continue down that road, I'm sure, as we move forward.
Well, and as you mentioned, you're not sure if those funds could go directly for the machine or for just the Narcan, but that also leads us to then what will happen with these funds when, it would be a blessing if this opioid issue went away, then what would happen with those funds?
Yeah, they had, some pretty strict parameters on where this goes. And one of the concerns I had years ago, and I'm pretty old, but growing up was, we saw a heroin problem where I grew up in the Chicago area, as well as LSD. And then over years, that drug use morphed to something else, cocaine, crack cocaine, And you didn't see that use or that availability of some of those other drugs. And my concern is we have money that's basically set aside to combat the current drug problem. But we're always going to have a drug problem of some kind. And my hope is that we continue to broaden, the areas in which we can use that to fight that scourge, make our communities better and safer.
Mm. And what are some of the things that you're working on the national level to try to help broaden these conversations and make this more of a overall fix versus this one problem right now?
Well, every year I have the opportunity, more than once, but it's coming up in January again, where we meet with all of the presidents of the state counties associations from around the country. And we talk about things like this and how we're going to use money, where it's going to be allocated, and what those things are that seem to be facing all counties across the country as we move into the next year. And the opioid crisis was a really interesting one, because when that money was first allocated, as was ARPA money, some of the ARPA money, there were real narrow areas in which that could be used. And, for instance, let's say it could be used for infrastructure within a county. Well, counties generally don't have infrastructure. I mean, counties aren't typically putting in water and sewer and those types of things. I mean, those are things that cities and other municipalities did. So, through those meetings in D.C., when we have those conversations, usually with cabinet members, we're able to make some headway in gaining a little bit of latitude is how we spend that money most responsibly within our own community. And if you think about it, the needs that we have in Wood County, Wisconsin Rapids, Marshfield, and everywhere in between are significantly different than they have in Manhattan or LA or Chicago. Mm-hmm. And, one of the goals is to make those not only legislators, who obviously we meet with them, but those cabinet members aware of the differences and then where that money is best spent.
Mm. Okay. And then as far as we've got a couple minutes here, let's dive into another thing more locally here with the Edgewater Haven project that you have going on in Port Edwards. There's a little bit of headway being made on that. Can you give us a brief overview of that project?
Sure. Go back a little bit. One of the things that our county board has done over the years is decide that we need to maintain Edgewater Haven as a nursing facility. And the thought behind that was we want to keep families together. And as somebody ages into a facility like that, it's nice when, you don't have to be homed or housed in a different community, different county, different part of the state. So we've made a commitment over the years that we will use tax levy to fund that facility, to make up the shortfall between the funding we get, either private pay or Medicaid, for instance. We've also found that over time that the need within that facility changes from skilled nursing to maybe less skilled nursing needs or attention to the particular resident. So as we look forward and how to best use Edgewater Haven, and for those of you who haven't gone down there, you might look at this. This is a gorgeous nursing home facility. Making some recommended changes there that will make that more financially viable going into the future. That being said, we're extremely early in this process. We're in a planning stage where we're looking at, how we can do that, how we can do it financially, make it fiscally responsible. And so I never know if those will pass when we get there. But my take is, based on the attitude of the board over the years, is we want to maintain that facility. We want to do it as, financially, fiscally responsible as possible. So my guess is we'll move through the planning stage. We'll eventually get plans laid out. And there'll probably be a bonding issue to look at how that project gets done. We're probably somewhere end of 26 away from making those decisions.
Okay. And the last time we talked about this, you mentioned that even on the empty beds in that nursing home facility, the county pays a tax on those.
Yeah, the bed tax issue, you're going to get me all fired up here. counties, we pay money for beds whether they're occupied or not. And it always amazed me that the state knows that we have our demographic says we have an aging population, mm-hmm. and that we're going to need more of these facilities going forward. And yet we get charged to just have those beds, even if they're empty at this time, with the thought that we're going to need those some days. And that cost the county, in our case, can be, between $50,000 and $100,000. It's closer to $50,000. But nonetheless, it's a cost that I don't think the residents should have to bear to be ready, you know, for what that future need is going to be. So that's a little frustrating. You know, we constantly look at that. We look at Medicaid reimbursements. Those have been increased over the past few years to come closer to what the actual cost is to house those individuals. But we're working on it.
And then with the switch over to changing one wing to more of a assisted living, this would just give the facility a more broader...
Yeah, it gives you a broader use, you know, template with that, you know, within the community. So it kind of opens it up to more people. It changes the type of room you need, which to some extent looks a little bit more like an apartment when you're all done. But then you do have the ability to move into the skilled nursing areas if you're going to need that, and you're at the same place. So it's those things that we look at. Those are the long-term, you know, plans that we always have. The easy stuff's tomorrow. I need to plow the snow, which we've had to do the last few days, or there's a pothole. Those are the simple fixes, the easy ones. We go out and do it. The toughest part is to look ahead 5 years, 10 years, and say, what is it we're going to need at that point in time? And then how are we going to fund it? Mm-hmm. And so, you know, as a board, that's kind of where we're looking all the time.
All right. Well, let's take a brief break. I'm Melissa Kay. You're listening to Perspective on 1320 AM, 97.5 FM, WFHR. You're listening to Perspective on WFHR 1320 AM, 97.5 FM. I'm Melissa Kay, bringing you news in our community with Wood County Board Chair Lance Plimmel. Thank you for being here, Lance.
It's always a pleasure. Enjoy coming into your station.
Thank you. Well, we've got some committee meetings that are starting here in early January, and I'm hoping that you can just give us a brief overview of what each of these committees does and what they'll be doing here this first week in the new year.
Sure. You know, this is a really good topic because most people think that what occurs at the county board meetings, you know, is where everything gets hashed out and gets done. And it really isn't. It starts with the committee meetings. Once something comes out of committee or multiple committees and actually gets to the board floor, there's very few things that are controversial because all the questions have been answered. And if you looked at the votes over the last year, the vast majority are 19-0 or 18-1 type votes because that conversation has already occurred. So coming up in January, by the way, is usually about the lightest month of the year because we just finished all the budgets, wrapped up end of the year, and we're really just getting started. So as we come up into this next week, it's a little bit unusual just because the first is a Friday. Or I'm sorry, the second is a Friday. The first is a holiday. Don't come into the courthouse. but we're going to have the J&L meeting and the Judicial and Legislative Committee. I'll try not to talk in acronyms. you know, deals with, generally speaking, the courts, the legal stuff, everything that happens up on the third floor of the courthouse. And that can be from our own offices, our corporation counsel, right through the branch 1, 2, 3, and 4, the family court commissioners, clerk of courts, and all those offices. They also have oversight of our child support offices and our register of deeds offices, so constitutional officers to some extent. And they deal with, and again, right now, it's a pretty light agenda because they deal with legislative issues. And right now, the legislature, I'm not knocking you guys, but it's nowhere to be found. I mean, they're on vacation as well. So, you know, that work really won't get started till mid-January, end of January, and then they'll be able to deal with those issues. And then we roll into Mondays, we probably have a Property Information Technology Committee, and they deal with all the property that went on the county, whether that be the courthouse or Edgewater Haven we just talked about, what was referred to as Norwood for years, but the Northwood County Health Annex up there, all of our highway shops, all of the other property that we own, really other than park and forestry land. They deal with all of that stuff. They deal a little bit with that too as well. And then technology, everything that we do out of IT, and that is a phenomenally busy department because even in your own life, you realize everything you do is touched by tech. And so they're involved in almost every project from like right now, finishing up the courtrooms with some of the audio visual up there and everything that breaks. The new jail, there was miles and miles and miles of cable laying in there that, you know, had to go to the right place to be terminated. Extremely busy department, but that's the PIT, P-I-T, Property Information Technology. Tuesdays, we roll into the Operations Committee, and that's Finance and HR. So our Human Resources Department, our Finance Department report directly there. It's kind of where the numbers get crunched. Other committees come in and say, this is what we'd like to do. And generally speaking, this committee looks at Does it violate any premise of personnel policy? Does it fall within what we're allowed to do? And do we have the money to do it? Then we follow up on Wednesdays typically with our Conservation Education Economic Development Committee. The acronym is CEED, C-E-E-D. And they handle generally, to some extent, environmental issues, land and water conservation, planning and zoning, are the two main areas that they deal with. So all of that land use, all that planning, that occurs in those meetings. And they have long meetings. I mean, these are long agendas because you're dealing with everything in the county that falls under that umbrella. So it's not unusual for those guys to have a 2 or 3 hour committee meeting at all. And it's gone over 4 hours sometimes. Then we walk into Thursday mornings. Now it's our Highway Infrastructure Recreation Committee, acronym HIRC, H-I-R-C, okay, Highway Infrastructure Recreation Committee. That's our highway department, and that's our parks departments. And somebody says, well, why are those two together? And, you know, when we put these committees together when the county board was reduced in size years ago, I'm not sure what the prevailing thought there was other than both of those departments have trucks. And so maybe we ought to put them together because they utilize the same kind of stuff. But, you know, obviously, again, two extremely important committees. The highway department deals with everything out there, including the snow and the salt and everything you're dealing with now. And then our parks and forestry committee, or parks and forestry division of that, would, you know, we have a lot of parks. Talk a little bit about one of those later, but, you know, you got South Park and NEPCO and Dexter and North Park and the Richfield 360.
And the new Sarah Park.
The new Sarah Park. I'm glad you brought that up. I'd have forgot that one, and it's one of our going to be one of our big ones going forward. And then forestry. We own 38,000 acres of county forest land, which actually provides a fair amount of revenue to the county every year. But it provides recreational opportunities. I always find it a little bit heartbreaking, a little disconcerting when somebody tells me, there's nowhere to hunt in the county. I go, there's 38,000 acres. And if you walk more than 100 yards off the road, you're going to find you're in a wilderness that nobody has touched for years. So, yeah, we roll through that way. And then we go back to Fridays usually, which, again, J&L. And then there's a whole bunch of kind of ancillary committees that deal with all kinds of things, you know, workforce development.
Public safety.
Public safety. Yeah. Well, yeah. Public safety is a – God, I missed that one.
Yeah.
That's a big – that comes the next Monday. And that's the sheriff's department and all that they handle. And that's the biggest part of that one, emergency management, some of those others. But, you know, you've seen what our sheriff's department does here, from building the new jail to the law enforcement aspects to everything that, else that they participate in. If you wouldn't have brought that one, I would have forgot that too. And that's one of our biggest departments based on, you know, the amount of dollars spent and the amount of staffing that occurs.
And then the other ones I'm seeing here, the Wood County Veterans Service Commission.
Yeah, and those fall under those other committees, but there's a lot of those. There's, you know,
State
Golden Sands Resource,
Advisory.
The library committees, the State Wildlife.
Citizens, the Water Group.
There's a lot of those. Regional planning. Those are not where you have five county board supervisors who sit on a committee generally.
Gotcha.
It's an appointment of an individual or a couple of individuals to sit on more regional ones. One of the ones that touches a lot of lives in our area this time is the Aging Disability Resource Committee and Center. Been a truly successful operation that we put together a number of years ago, and that's another one. But those are not, if you want to come, the six basic committees.
Gotcha. Okay. Well, let's dive into a little bit about the Wood County Parks and Forestry Committee and that department, because there's a recreation update. Let's talk about what's going on.
Yeah, hot off the press. You know, one of the things, you know, recreation's huge in our area, and tourism's a big part of the economic picture in Wood County and, you know, central and northern Wisconsin. The snowmobile trails, we haven't had these open for more than a couple of days for years based on weather, but all snowmobile trails in the county are going to open at 8 a.m. tomorrow morning with
on
the
December
exception
31st.
Of Auburndale.
Auburndale, okay.
Okay, the exception of Auburndale. That's going to open at noon. So all trails at 8 a.m., with the exception of Auburndale at noon tomorrow.
On December 31st.
December 31st. Okay. That is tomorrow, right?
It is, but this will air later. So
oh, that's right.
Make sure
I'm going,
we
all right.
Why
would you? Then on December 31st, I want you to know that our all across country trails are groomed in all those parks. There's a season pass for that. It's a $30 pass. There's an $8 daily fee, but you'll find those up at Powers Bluff, NEPCO, Richfield 360. Those are ready to go and in really good shape right now. The big one right now that everybody looks at, though, is Powers Bluff and our Tubing Hills, our winter sports recreation area. It's just so satisfying to have that open over Christmas break this year. And the last week or so here, right before Christmas, we had a lot of rain, and it really concerned me. But it kind of firmed everything up, and then we were blessed with more snow. The highway department doesn't feel that way, but the parks department does. So our Tubing Hills are open. They were open actually basically from the weekend before New Year's. We're going to be open all the way through the Sunday following, which I think is the 4th. I don't have the calendar right in front of me. And then we're open Saturdays and Sundays after that. Okay. But the tubing sessions run either 10 to 1 or 1 to 4. We have two sessions a day. The cost for tubing is $14 a day. That includes your own tube. You can't bring your own tube. They specially hook up to the toes and go up. But we also recommend kind of a minimum height of about 42 inches for safety in that regard. The ski hill is open there as well. So that that lift ticket, in effect, covers skiing if you want to, you know, use that opportunity as well. There are rentals up there, adults and children. There's a little different cost for those. I think if you're renting ski equipment, I think it's around $7 under 12 and maybe $12 if you're older than that, somewhere in that vicinity.
But you can bring your own.
You can bring your own equipment, absolutely.
And there are limited amounts available.
But if you thought you wanted to try it, you know, and you've never skied, not a bad opportunity. But the tubing usually very well attended. I recommend you get out there. And like I said, after we get through this holiday week between Christmas and New Year's, after this weekend, it's every Saturday and Sunday.
Wonderful. Well, it's been a pleasure talking with you, Lance. It's always good to see you.
Likewise, really appreciate the opportunity to come in and talk a little bit about what's going on in Wood County.
I'm Melissa Kay, speaking with Lance Plimmel, chairperson of the Wood County Board of Supervisors. Thank you again, Lance.
Thank you.
And thank you to listeners joining us for news in our community on Perspective, 1320 AM, 97.5 FM, WFHR.